The next talk is I'm going to start talking about some of the factors that we think might be influencing our cotton yields following corn in the Mid-South. And for some of you I know that are fairly young in this audience, I'm going to be talking about 10 to 12 years worth of research going on. And some of you haven't been in the cotton research business 10 or 12 years. So it takes a long time to build some of these databases, and I'll say that. I would like to, at this point, recognize the co-authors on this, Davis Clark, who is my research associate, and Lyle Pringle. Lyle is our irrigation person at Stoneville, so these are irrigated tests. So I put him the responsibility of making sure I get enough water out there. So some years he doesn't do a good job, but don't tell him I said that. This research is also being sponsored with the Mississippi Cotton Incorporated State Support Program, and without their support of these programs, we'd be much more limited in what we're able to do. So I always like to acknowledge their participation. The project that I'm going to be talking about started in 2000 and ran through 2011. The objectives changed somewhat over the years because we did bring an interest in nematodes into here, but we started out wanting to look at the effects of nitrogen and potassium on cotton yields and corn yields. Remember, about in 2000, we only had about 50,000 acres of corn in Mississippi Delta. And since that time, we've gone up to over 900,000 acres of cotton, of corn, and we've dropped from about 1.2 million acres of cotton down to as little as 290,000 acres one year. So, you know, this was some of the very first work looking at corn-cotton rotations in the area. I got really involved with corn when I was asked to move from corn from a rice position. So, and since I came from the Midwest, trained from the University of Illinois, I saw corn grow, so I became the resident corn expert. Not everybody had seen corn growing. So, but just to get into this study is at two locations, again, at the Delta Station at Stoneville and at the satellite farm down at Tribbett. Lyle and I pretty much have that research farm to ourselves. It's about 115 acres, and as a scientist, to have 115 acres of plots in one area, that's awesome. So we started out with a nitrogen by potassium in, study where we looked at corn rates, 120 up to 280 pounds of N, and K rates from 0 up to 120 pounds of K. On the cotton, we use 60 up to 180 pounds, 180 pounds of nitrogen. But we have a lot of farmers that are interested in trying to increase yields with N rates, so we put those in there. The nitrogen source was UAN solution. The potassium source in this case was also a liquid solution because we have a liquid applicator. Not that it's any better than a granular, but it made it easier for us to apply. That product was an 0016. It's about 1.3 pounds of K per gallon. The two locations, the Delta Station was a Bosquet very fine sandy loam, irrigated the Tribbett satellite farm. This was a Forestdale Dundee silty clay loam, better water holding capacity, but it was also irrigated. So just to give you an idea how they were set up at each location, we had three sections in the field. We had 1 year corn followed by 2 years of cotton. The first year cotton followed corn. The second year cotton followed cotton. So when I get into the discussion of the data, I'm going to be talking about cotton following corn versus cotton following cotton. And I'm not going to get into the NK stuff. I'm going to be talking strictly about the rotation benefits. So this is just to give you an idea of what each section was in each year. The only difference was that at the Delta location in the first year in 2000, we had no cotton following corn because there had never been corn in that field. For as long as anybody could remember, about 100 years, that field had been in cotton. So this just shows you the way the fields were set up with the N by K treatments arranged in the field. The same thing was true down at Tribbett. They may not be in exactly the same order, but it's the same type of situations in that case. Now, I brought this slide in. This is from 2003. This is a remote sensed image, an NDVI photograph or picture, and you've got three sections in the field. You've got the corn section here at the bottom, a section here that I call cotton following corn. You see a very distinct line between these two and a very distinct line between cotton following cotton and cotton following corn. The only difference between these sections in the field is that one follows cotton, one follows corn. They were planted the same day. Everything is the same. Now, what does that mean? In 2003, that difference you see early in the season was a yield of 1187 versus 1416. The rotation effect, that's just the fact that it was corn following corn versus cotton following corn versus cotton following cotton, 229 pounds of cotton lint increase. And that's what I call the rotation effect. So, getting into the results, this is the summary of every year of the results averaged across N rates and K rates. And you can, and the numbers, let me just, these are the yields, and you can see we've had quite a bit of flexibility in the yields here, as high as 1,400 pounds. This particular field is hard to water, hard to get water into the ground. I have an NA here because that year we didn't have cotton following corn, cotton following cotton. But the green numbers with a plus sign are a positive yield response due to rotation. These negative numbers are decreases in yield of cotton following corn versus cotton following cotton. You notice in 2007, we had as much as a 15% decrease in yield with cotton following corn versus cotton following cotton. And I'll get into why we think some of these things are going on. To average all of this information together, the corn at the Delta Station, if we take out year 2000, because we had a lot of herbicide injuries, this field had Zoriel in it, for those of you that remember Zoriel. But this field at the station has averaged 195 bushel of corn per acre for 11 years, and that includes 2011, where we didn't get enough water on to start with, and that's the absolute poorest corn yield for irrigated corn that I've ever had that year. Now, I made up for it this year, but if you look at the yields across the bottom, we've got 955 for cotton following corn, 815 for cotton following cotton. So we have averaged 139, taking all of those things into consideration, we have averaged 139 pounds of lint per acre per year over that 11-year period, which gives us an advantage to rotation of 17%. That's pretty significant. Everything else being constant, just the rotation effect. We've got the same thing for down at Tribbett. We don't have as many negative numbers at Tribbett. A couple of years here, we even had some that were very similar. And there was a reason for that, because of herbicides at the time. You know, we didn't have all of these systems were Roundup ready at the time. So we've seen positive responses here up to 50%, which means some substantial increases. If we average everything, corn yields attribute on that silty clay loam soil are not quite as high as they've been on the sandy loam soil, and that's to be expected. 177 bushel over a 12-year period here. The cotton yields are actually pretty good for this station. Now, we do see a response to irrigation. It's more uniform here than it is on the sandy loam soil. The total response is an average of 89.6 pounds of lint per acre per year, which gives us an increase of 9.2%. Now, the question becomes, what are some of the factors that lead to some of these fluctuations and variations in there? Well, the biggest one tends to be rainfall total and distribution. We're in an area that has a normal rainfall of about 53 inches per year. So I'm going to run through these fairly quick, but just to give you an idea, in 2000, at the Delta Station, we had 58 inches of rainfall. 27 inches of that fell between April and September, but look what happened after the 1st of June. We were really wet early. We didn't get a really good root development in the cotton at that time because it was so wet, fairly shallow rooted. Then July came, rainfall, Mother Nature said, no, you guys don't need it anymore. They cut us off. So, you know, we went the next 4 months with less than 3 inches of rainfall. So then we picked back up in December, started with heavy rainfall again. So that year, fairly low yields. Take this same situation. Let's, let's start looking at what happened in some of these negative years. Okay, 2004, an 8% reduction in yield of cotton following corn versus cotton following cotton. It looks a whole lot like 2000, but look at June rainfall, 12.45 inches of rain. One of the advantages to corn in a rotation with cotton is developing that root system, getting a good root system. So if you've got cotton following corn, a really good root system, a really good growing plant, you get a big bushy plant, you get plenty of fruit on it, and then it starts raining and raining and raining and raining. Boll rot, hard lock. So in that situation where we've made a more favorable growing condition for the cotton, we actually hurt ourselves when it started raining. Again, we don't have any control over when it starts raining or if it starts raining. You know, look at September. We got 0.03 inch of rain. Too late. You know, we knocked off or we rotted a lot of fruit before we ever got there. You know, we got a big bushy crop, and so that hurt us. Going to Trivet now. Let's take a look at some of the things down at Trivet. That's 2004. Okay, we had a little bit of a decline there. Let's look at the growing season. Now, June, again, Trivet, we had 8.5 inches or almost 8.5 inches of rainfall in June. We kept up in July and August. So even though our yields are equal, we had awfully good yields in 2004 at this location, but there was no difference. The thing that really hurt us this year is that in the cotton following corn, we had a problem with Johnson grass, nut's edge, and didn't have a way at the time to control those. So this first year of corn following cotton, we actually had problems in the corn and the cotton that followed. By the second year, we were able to eliminate that problem. So we switched to a Roundup Ready variety that helped us solve some of these problems. Going back to the Delta in 2007, there's a 15% reduction in yield. 2007, we were fairly dry early in the season. Didn't have a lot of real good growth, but we still had, for cotton, adequate growth. But then it started raining in July. It rained through August. It rained through September. It rained through October. A lot of cloudy weather. Again, a lot of situations where the better growth you got, and we started rotting cotton, then we end up with a lot more problems. So the same, this is 2006, we saw some of the greatest yield advantage, a 50% increase in yield at Trivet in 2006. Look at 2006 growing season. We were low in April, May, June, July, August, September. A total of 10 inches of rainfall. That 53 inches of annual rainfall, we're now down to, we're 11 inches below normal for the year. We were dry, so the rotation benefit in that very dry year gave us much higher yields. So that's a situation where if we knew what the growing season were, we might be able to do something about it, but we usually don't know what that is. So at the Delta station, the same thing situation. One of the highest yields here, 37%, same thing. Dry during the growing season, that's when we see our biggest responses. Okay, this is 2006. These two farms are less than 10 miles apart. One had an average rainfall of 55 inches. The other one had an average rainfall of 41 inches. So rainfall distribution, not only the rate, but the distribution. So, you know, we had much more rainfall at one location than the other. Now, do we have any control over that? Nope. But I just wanted you to see what we deal with in our situation. So you can see that back to that fluctuation. Now, one other thing, and I'm going to hit on this real quickly because I'm about out of time, but we also have been taking a look we shifted our emphasis to look at the impact of nematodes in this corn-cotton rotation, because one of the ways to look at and solve a problem with reniform nematodes is a crop rotation with corn. Reniform do not feed on the root system of corn like root knot will. So one of the things that we saw in this, and I've got just a couple slides here, and I'm just going to talk about one of them. With the corn system, we see nematode numbers very low following the corn crop. When we get into the first cotton crop, we see a fairly slow buildup But by the end of the season, we get pretty good numbers. In cotton following cotton, we see a higher number at the beginning, and then they go out the top at the end of the season. So, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, the nematode situation, the rotation does give us the benefit. You see the same type of things there. You know, I pretty much covered all of this already. You know, we are seeing some variation, but in effect, we're seeing about a 9 to 17% advantage to row crops. So with that, it says I'm 24 seconds over. So
quick question, Bernie, questions?
Because we've got a break after the next talk. That way I can take a sip. Any questions? Okay. We'll move on. No, right now I don't. I mean, we've been looking at one-year corn, one-year cotton. I've got some other studies going, but most of the time I'm only going 2 years cotton. And a lot of this stuff that I got involved with